You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. What exactly did Pope John Paul II mean when, upon his election, he told the crowds he came from a faraway country? And again, what happened on that historic day in Warsaw's Victory Square? I'm about to share with you the witness of a man who coordinated that encounter, Jesuit Cardinal Roberto Tucci. Stay tuned. Poland was important for the late Polish Pope, not only because it was his homeland, but also because, at the time, his beloved nation was behind an iron curtain. A reality on his mind that transpired minutes after he appeared on the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica following his election, on the evening of the 16th of October 1978. On that occasion, he told the crowds that he'd been called from a faraway country. In Italian, chiamato da un paese lontano.
Chiamato di un paese lontano.
Most of those present felt he was referring to the fact that he was the first non-Italian Roman pontiff for five centuries. But as he explained in his last book, Memory and Identity, which, as the title indicates, focuses on his personal memories, there was more to this statement. Just listen to this passage from the publication.
When I appeared at the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica to greet the people of Rome and the pilgrims gathered in the piazza, waiting for the result of the conclave, I said that I came from a far country. In fact, the geographical distance is not great. By air, the journey takes barely 2 hours. In calling it a far country, I intended to allude to the presence of the Iron Curtain. The Pope from behind the Iron Curtain truly came from afar, even if in reality he came from the very center of Europe. The geographical center of the continent is actually located on Polish territory. To summon a pope from Poland, from Krakow, could serve as an eloquent symbol. It was not simply the summons of an individual, but of the entire church to which he had belonged since birth. Indirectly, it was also a call to his nation. It seems to me that Cardinal Stefan Wyszyński saw and expressed this aspect of the event in a particularly profound way. Personally, I've always been convinced that the election of a Polish pope can be explained in terms of all that the primate of the millennium had achieved, along with the rest of the episcopate and the Polish Church, despite the oppressive limitations and persecutions to which they were subjected in those difficult years.
And as we all know, the effect his 1979 visit had on the rest of the Soviet-controlled Eastern and Central Europe was indeed great. But before focusing on this issue more in depth, I'd like to go back to that scenario in Warsaw's great Victory Square for a moment to give you a feeling of that euphoric welcome as messenger of hope and herald of freedom in a nation which at the time was stifling under the choke of communism. I'll do this by tapping into the memories of a man who was there in his quality as one of the organisers of that trip. He's Cardinal Roberto Tucci. Present at that.
Yeah.
That was a historical moment. Let's imagine it a moment, Warsaw's great Victory Square, and instead of having a hammer and sickle, we have the cross of Christianity. And the leader of the time, Edward Jarek, controlling from a hotel room overlooking. It was a very moving moment. What do you remember about that?
Well, I remember that certainly it was a great shock to the Polish people who were depressed with the communist regime, and they started recuperating hope. The Pope gave them the impression that somebody very important in the world, but most especially in the Roman Catholic Church, was with them. And was defending the human rights of the Polish nation against the regime. Of course, it was a very difficult situation in which the Pope very often criticizing openly the communist ideology was facing the reaction of the government. So the Pope was able to speak without, let us say, depassing the line of security. Of course, the government was protesting, the representatives of the government were protesting with with the people accompanying the Holy Father to alert the Holy Father not to insist too much on criticizing their ideology. But as a matter of fact, the Pope went on and nobody was able to stop him. Of course, it was too dangerous even for a communist regime to stop the Pope in front of the international public opinion.
We know what the consequences of this very mediatic event were in Poland. Pope John Paul acted as a catalyst. No, would you say that he acted as a catalyst in unraveling a situation?
First of all, let us say that the government, having the control of the media, tried to prove that the Pope was speaking only to nuns, seminarians, religious people, avoiding that on television the public in Poland could see the great crowds who were facing the Holy Father. But the people participating, of course, after they have heard what had happened in the public television, they protested. They were protesting. They knew very well that this was fake. It was not the truth. It was
a lie.
And in Italy, I remember that there was with us in Poland during the trip a very able man of the Italian television who, with a camera, was accumulating proofs that in front of the Holy Father were masses, and not only just a very small, reduced group of church people. And with that materials, every night here in Italy we could see what the Polish television was showing and what the reality was. Anyway, I think that was the starting moment of what happens later on with Solidarność, of course.
But as Cardinal Roberto Tucci mentioned a moment ago, the real victory was yet to come. While the Polish Pope's visit was pastoral, that is, spiritual in nature, no one today denies the contribution it made to the political changes that would later take place. Indeed, it's something Benedict XVI highlighted already back on the 31st of August 2005, on the occasion of the 25th anniversary of the founding of Solidarność. It was during his weekly general audience in St. Peter's Square.
Cich przypada 25-lecie powstania Solidarności.
Solidarność, the Pope said in Polish, naming that historic movement.
Jaki ten ruch wniósł dzieje współczesnej Europy.
And the words echoed across the square, as he praised the courage of the Polish Church for having come together in defense of human rights. But while he spoke in Rome, a mass was being celebrated right across Europe in the city of Gdansk, in that shipyard which was the birthplace of that movement.
O tych ludziach, którzy poczuli, że są wreszcie teraz u siebie, solidarnie walczą o dzisiaj i o przyszłość także dla ciebie.
To those present celebrating there, he'd sent a papal envoy with a message which read, "Everyone realizes what great significance the founding of this union had in Polish events and in the history of all of Europe." The Solidarity movement sparked enormous political change in Poland, leading it on the path of freedom and democracy, producing a ripple effect on the rest of Eastern Europe, giving other people behind the Iron Curtain the possibility to repair historic injustice. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.